Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Pharrell on a bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out a bad seat, a broken head, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in New York City in the CBS Sports Radio Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. People dressed in plastic bags, the rent and travel, some kind of fashion shake it up. Should do about all my friends that come around, fight to party up. Got rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess, this town's a tatter. My brain is splattered all over Manhattan. Should do be. Are you with us tonight from New York? All right, 855. That's 855. That's 855-212-4227 to get on the bench. Hope you had a good weekend. I'm Pharrell, along with Carver High and Mafia in the five hole on MLK Day. Hope everyone had a nice holiday. Your boy Mafia and I played basketball not only Saturday and Sunday all morning for, I think, close to 12 miles, Mafia, we played. That was 6 miles each day, in case you didn't know that.
I did not know that.
And then today we played for another four. So about 16 miles of basketball nonstop by adding today's 4 miles. We almost were at 4 miles today. So not bad. A lot of basketball over the weekend. A
ton of basketball. Three-day weekend means 3 days of ball.
Are you feeling good?
Feel great.
No major problems?
No, my legs were a little heavy at times, but it was fine.
Overall fine.
Overall fine. I mean, I even got a little lifting afterwards.
There you go. So, Carver High, what do you have going on? Did you have anything going on this weekend other than watching my team bend over?
I pretty much got the house cleaned up from Christmas. That was it.
Is that right? So you took down all the Christmas ornaments?
Got it the outside, the tree, got everything done.
Was there some semblance of people considering that you had waited too long to do that?
No, I mean, I usually like to keep it up for 1 month, and I think I had it up because of around the 10th or 15th of December, so that's it, done. And I got that done early Saturday, so then I could get involved in the hockey and some other things, so, and the football, obviously. So I had a lot going on.
So I got to ask you guys, obviously the Vikings stunned the Saints with a walk-off 61-yard TD by Stephon Diggs to advance to the title game in Philadelphia. In the other NFC game, the Eagles proved all the doubters wrong as home dogs by beating the Falcons 15-10 in Philly. Vikings at Eagles Sunday in Philadelphia. Who has the advantage in Keenum against Foles? We're going to talk to John DeShazier from the NewOrleansSaints.com. And Pelicans radio analyst John, of course, obviously covered the game. And just devastation for our friends in New Orleans. What are you going to do? I will say that to me, that was like one of the, that'll go down as one of the craziest finishes of a football game in the National Football League ever. And I think I even sent you some today of the greatest, like basically the alleged greatest plays in NFL history. Like the Immaculate Reception, all these others. That one clearly now in the mix as one of the greatest plays ever. Whether you liked it or not, that was a crazy finish. It was inexplicable. I was like, what is happening? Is this even happening? The first thing I thought when he caught it was go out of bounds so they can kick the field goal. And then when I saw him run down and score a touchdown, I just couldn't even believe it. And then it got worse. I was like, wait a minute. The spread's 5.5. And they're up 5. If they kneel, a bunch of people are going to be miserable, right? So that's exactly what they did. And then they showed a lot of those sports books in Vegas. They showed a couple of them, people going ballistic. It is what it is. That was like Jim Valvano running around on the court when NC State won the national championship. He didn't know who to hug. And your boy Keenum was doing that. He was running around. He didn't know who to hug. He may not have any friends. I don't know. But that was the craziest end to a game ever. I will say, you know, just so you know, if it makes you feel any better, I know, just so you know, like I got a lot of, it would appear to me, abuse on, you know, like I got all these emails and messages and tweets and everything of people that, that you know, apparently hate me or something, or they just lathered up on the fact that the Steelers lost. And they were so happy that I, my team lost, and that they were just relishing in that fact, right? And saying all kinds of mean, nasty things to me. That's great. Carver High, who did I bet on in the football game?
You had the Jags with the points.
Yes, thanks. I just wanted to say that just so you can think whatever you want, just so you know. Now, I was disappointed. Fair enough. I was disappointed. I was very disappointed. But just... let's be clear. I'm a big boy. I've been doing this probably longer than most people in terms of you, your life. I got a lot of people to listen to me over 50. I got a lot of people to listen to me over 60, some over 70, right? But I think I got even more under 50 that listen to me. You know, let's say between the ages of, you know, 18 and 50 years old. Would you say that, Carver High?
Yes.
So I've listened to all this I can take, and I've watched more sports than most of you in my life. So I've always told you, if you can't lose, don't be a sports fan. If you can't handle losing, don't get into sports. If you can't handle losing, don't play sports. If you don't like missing 3-foot putts, don't golf. Because it's going to happen, and you'll be very disappointed. So I've grown to learn how to lose. I don't know about you. Like, are you... How long did you suffer after the Bills lost? A day or two?
I mean, Sunday was hard, but by Monday morning, I was like, you know what, it was a great year.
Did you watch the ESPN the day after to see the highlights of your team losing?
No.
I don't either. So I didn't watch that all that today, but that's it. I could care less if they lose. Like, I'm over it. I don't – it happens. I've been around losing enough, and I've been around winning enough. There's – winning's great. Losing sucks. There's no reason to sit around and stew in it. They lost. Boom, I was done with it. I'm done with it. It's not my fault they lost. I got nothing to do with it. People seem to think that I got something to do with it. You should have seen the abuse I got. All this email. Let me tell you, how many do you think I responded to, Carver High?
Zero.
Thanks. You got that right. That you hit right on the head. Zero. I'm not going to email you back. I'm not going to messenger you back. I'm not going to tweet you back because I don't give a rat's ass what you think. So send them all you want. I don't sit around reading them, and I don't sit around responding to them, just so you know. So have at it, and then just know I'm not going to ever write you back or call you or respond to you. And feel free to call the show tonight and make fun of me. That's fine. But I have nothing to do with it. Do you understand? I have nothing to do with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They lost. Their defense was the wussiest defense I ever saw in my life. They lost that game for one reason only, and it was their defense, right? They couldn't stop Jacksonville from the minute the game started until it ended. It wasn't Big Ben's fault. I mean, the guy threw for 500-some yards and all those touchdowns. How about all those fourth-down bombs he threw? The guy's phenomenal. They lost because their candy-ass defense was pathetic. Whoever's running the defense should be fired, and those players that are on that defense, they should cut them. They were terrible. Get new players because they're awful. That defense sucks. That's why they lost. No questions asked. So they're playing the Jags, the Pats. I told you the Pats would win. I told you they'd cover the 13.5. I hit the Eagles to win and +3. I've hit 10 of my last 12 NFL playoff bets. So just so you know, 10 of 12 is 83%. So you know what you can do. Talk all you want about me. Forget about me. Mafia, what do I care about? Covering bets.
It's all you care about, hitting the spread and the money line.
That's it. And coaching news, after thinking he'd stick in Tennessee, Mike Mularkey is now out as Titans coach. Reports also say the New England coordinators are locked for the new jobs. Josh McDaniels in Indy and Matt Patricia in Detroit. After rumors for weeks, months, the Pirates finally trade McCutchen. We just talked about this last week. Is Andrew McCutchen going to the San Francisco Giants? I asked Carver High that question. And now it's true. He got traded to the San Francisco Giants. the fire sale. They got rid of Garrett Cole to the world champion Astros and McCutcheon in one weekend. And basically what they got for him was a stack of potato bread, right? They got a stack of potato bread. Martin's potato bread is what they got in return for all their superstars. So nice job, Pittsburgh Pirates. You guys are doing a fantastic job of butchering the team. Nice fire sale where you get rid of everyone and get nothing in return. Don't tell me you did well when you got their fourth prospect. I don't care who he is. I want the number one prospect for Andrew McCutcheon. And you get the number four. You know what number four is? It's not number three. When you're number three, you suck. When you're number two, you suck. When you're number one, you matter. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. Would you like the fast quote from the GM after the trades tonight?
Yeah, you're an asshat. And inject swearing here.
The Garrett Cole trade did not dramatically impact our potential to win the World Series this year. This McCutcheon trade does not dramatically impact our potential to win the World Series this year. Good job, Neil.
Hey, Neil, how about you're never winning the World Series, you idiot? Great job, though. I think he's a fantastic GM and a great man and a great humanitarian and philanthropist, and he's great on the station we're on in Pittsburgh. The fan, they carry the Pirates. Great ball club. My favorite team. By the way, my favorite team. You cannot tell me that doesn't irritate you, though. We'll have Ron Cook on from the Fan and the Post-Gazette in Pittsburgh to talk about the Steelers and the Pirates tonight as well. So coming up first, John DeShazer from NewOrleansSaints.com.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, John DeShazer was at the Saints-Viking divisional semi-game in Minneapolis on Sunday evening. And, I mean, everybody knows what happened. John, thanks for coming on CBS Sports Radio again. Always like having you on the bench.
Hey, I appreciate you having me, Scott.
So let me start with the kid, Marcus Williams. So first of all, do people realize that the kid made a huge play in the game and had a huge pick that basically got him back into the game? And then he made the obvious, you know, bad miss tackle. He misplayed the last play, got burned. We all saw what happened. What has been the reaction to this kid? How are people treating him today? And you were there, so what was he like afterwards?
Well, afterward, I mean, he was not disconsolate, but I mean, he shed tears. He, you know, he's not just a young kid, but a competitor, and he knew the gravity of the situation, even though he's a rookie and has never been in the NBA NFL playoffs. Excuse me, but he understood exactly, you know, what had happened. So, you know, he shed some tears, and he was upset about it. Now he did, you know, he faced the music. He took full responsibility, which is what you expect anybody to do, and he handled it well. I think, you know, it's you know how it is with social media. You got people who really sympathize with him and said, hey, you know, great season, and you know, appreciate everything you've done. And then you got, you know, your I guess knucklehead division that are gonna, you know, really jump on him and say he lost the game solely and, you know, all those kinds of things. But I tell you what, if you would poll any Saints fan or would have polled any Saints fan prior to the season, after 3-7-9 seasons back-to-back-to-back, and told them you're going to win a division, you're going to win the wild card game, and with 10 seconds left in the divisional playoff game, you're going to have a chance to win it, all of them would have taken it. So, you know, I think the kid, I think Marcus will emerge stronger for it. I mean, because it's one of those plays that, you know, let's be frank, it can haunt you or it can drive you to be, you know, better and greater. And he seems to be the kind of kid who's got the fortitude to let it drive him to be greater and better. So let's hope that happens to him. As for the team, you know, it was a gut punch. I mean, it was one of those where you feel like somebody reaches inside and pulls out a piece of your soul, because you know, the Saints played a fantastic second half. The first half was nothing to write home to anybody about, trailing 17-0. But they really put it together in the second half. And, you know, to score 24 points on the road against the number one defense in the league said a lot about the adjustments they made and to get a lot of stops and shutdowns defensively. So they made the proper adjustments, and, you know, the moment wasn't too big for them. And then, you know, unfortunately, Marcus whiffed on that last play, and that cost him the game. But, you know, I think a lot of good has come out of it for him, you know, in hindsight. You know, I think he's gotten a lot of support and a lot of people kind of, you know, propping him up and hoping that he doesn't take it you know, too harsh and too personally.
So, John, you were there, and you're sitting in the press box, and this play goes down. Like all of us, you know, I was watching a game thinking, all right, complete a pass and get out of bounds and kick a field goal, and then, you know, that's what it's going to come down to. Little did we all know that, you know, this is one of the craziest plays that'll probably people – you know, will ever see in their lifetime. You're only, I saw the Immaculate Reception, right? And that has lived in infamy my whole life. And now this will obviously be one of those plays that's going to go down forever as one of the craziest plays in NFL history. When you were in the press box and you saw it happen, what was going on in your mind? And what were you thinking about what you had just seen?
Well, I'll back up with 10 seconds left in that third and 10 at their own 39. Mentally, I'm packed for Philly. I'm thinking about, you know, what's going to be going on in Philly and you know, stories and that have to be written and, you know, videos that have to be posted, those kinds of things. So when you see it, it's one of those, you know, WTH moments or WTF, I guess, for that moment, because, you know, it was one of the most incredible things I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen that happened in a game, you know, and certainly I think it's the first time it's happened in NFL history where you get a walk-off touchdown as time expires like that. So it was, you know, on one hand, it was, you know, well, it was gut-wrenching. I mean, it was one of those things where, you know, you're sitting there and you're like, what in the world just happened? I mean, so, you know, and people are saying, well, maybe he stepped out of bounds. No, he didn't step out of bounds. I mean, you just, now you want to get the replay as quickly as you can possibly get it to see exactly what happened, because, you know, it's just something that was absolutely bizarre and insane. And then again, on one hand, it almost fit with the end of that game, man. It was, I think there were four lead changes in the last 3:01, which was crazy. You know, who would have ever thought that would happen in an NFL playoff game? And yet, there it was. But, yeah, when that play happens, man, it's like, you know, what in the world just happened? Did I see what, you know, it's kind of like that John Starks movie.
Right.
Did I just see what I just saw?
So did everyone in the press box, were you guys all just looking at each other like somebody, like the place was on fire or something?
Oh, yeah. Everybody's mouth dropped because, I mean, that's the last thing you expect to see. I mean, the absolute last thing you expect to see was that. You might see a pick. You might see a pass interference. You might see a completion with a guy getting out of bounds. You might see a completion with a guy getting tackled and the time expiring. You might see, you know, an offside penalty. You might see, you know, about 50 different things, but that was probably about the last thing that anybody figured they would see, you know, in the whole realm of that whole thing. You figured there would not be a touchdown scored of all things.
When you, John DeShazer with us from NewOrleansSaints.com, when you went into the locker room afterwards, and you had already talked about Marcus and everything, what was, because, you know, I want to know what Peyton and Breeze were like.
Well, I mean, you know, actually, you know, Sean Payton and Breeze were – now, Breeze was – I think both of them were obviously, you know, wounded because, you know, being, you know, the older guys, being the guys who have been in New Orleans since 2006, they understand that these opportunities don't always present themselves. So you have to take advantage when you get these opportunities. And, you know, getting smacked around and getting beat 35-17 is one thing. But to lose it that way – you know, like I said, it really, really is gut-wrenching for you because Drew Brees is 39 years old. And, you know, I don't care how long he wants to play. We all understand that he wants to play into his 40s, and he's still effective. But sooner or later, Father Time wins. You know, that's just, you know, the reality of it. So that, you know, the opportunities are going to start, you know, dwindling. And that was a golden one right there to get a chance to get to the NFC Championship game and maybe get back to the Super Bowl. So, you know, those things really kind of weigh into your mind. But, you know, actually Sean Payton, you know, he seemed extremely calm about it. I mean, it was one of those where, you know, the comeback, I think he was, you know, really, really pleased with. I mean, didn't like some aspects of the game, obviously. But, you know, he said, you know, hey, if you hang around this game long enough, you'll be a part of, you know, every type of game. And unfortunately, you know, he's on the wrong end of it this time, and you want to be on the right side of it more than that. And you know, Drew Brees, he handled, you know, Drew handled it well, too. I don't think, you know, anybody was, you know, it wasn't a finger-pointing situation or anything like that. They were upset, obviously, but they weren't so upset that it was to the detriment of the team or to the point where they were, you know, saying, you know, oh, woe is us or anything like that. They really, I thought they handled it pretty well.
Wow, that's great stuff. I'm sorry you had to see that. I put it this way, if it makes you feel any better, I'm a Steeler fan, so I was just as miserable as you guys were watching my team just disintegrate defensively all day long against the Jaguars. So I know what it's like to lose many times, and I've also seen them win a lot. And you've seen your Saints win a Super Bowl, so you can always hang your hat on the happy days because the bad days really suck. I thought that was had to be devastating, so I appreciate you coming on tonight. Always like having you on the show. Great intel on the devastating loss. All I have to say at this point is go Pelicans. By the way, I'm going to go see the Pelicans on February 10th play the Nets in Brooklyn. I'm going to be at that game. I'm taking my kid to see the Brow and Boogie and the 7-foot combo meal with your boy Rondo, so I'll be at that game.
Well, that's a good. That'll be a good one to be at, man. When they push the ball and when Rondo's got his hands on the ball, they're a totally different team in terms of getting up and down the floor and distribution. I mean, it's you know, they can really play some beautiful basketball. Now, that said, there are times where they can play some really, really bad basketball. So hopefully they're getting the bad out of the system. They won a couple back-to-back, and they're kind of taking care of business a little bit. It's going to be a lot more difficult tomorrow night because they play the Celtics in Boston tomorrow night. So, you know, we'll see exactly how much growth they have considering the way Boston's playing. Hopefully they've grown up enough to where they can challenge a really good team on the road.
Yeah, I saw him. I saw Brow put 48 at the Garden on the Knicks the other night. Unbelievable. John, always a pleasure, my man. Thanks again.
Hey, I appreciate it, Scott. Thanks for having me.
All right, Johnny DeShazer covers the Saints and Pelicans in New Orleans for us.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4227. I love Ron Cook, great writer, Post-Gazette in Pittsburgh. He does Middays on the Fan, 93.7 in the Steel City. Joining us again on the Bench. Happy New Year, Ron. I hope you're doing well, buddy. I know... Sunday was tough and everything, but you've been down this road many times. I mean, I said this earlier. I've seen all their glory, and I've seen some of their and most of their misery. And I mean, it is what it is. Losing sucks. I thought their defense was deplorable. I mean, I earlier suggested fire everybody, get rid of all those bums. It was just disgusting, that defense.
Scotty, it was a long Sunday afternoon here. There's no question, and it actually started about 5 weeks ago when Mike Tomlin first brought up playing New England in the championship game with Tony Dungy in an interview with NBC. His players were looking ahead to New England. He was. Le'Veon Bell actually tweeted about it the night before the game. It was ridiculous here. You do that talk, and then you go out and you know, you talk the talk, and then, boy, they didn't even come close to walking the walk. Awful performance here by the defense, you're right. Awful performance by the coaching staff. All the way around, it was a nightmare. When you lose at home to a 7-point underdog with the talent that they have, very inexcusable, I can tell you that.
So is that toeing the line in Pittsburgh, like on the Fan and everything? Are they abusing the coaches and the defense, the players?
They want to fire Tomlin, but they want to do that every year unless they win the Super Bowl. I mean, you know the mentality here. It's always, if you don't win the Super Bowl, everybody stinks. And that's kind of the way they look at this. But they had some legitimate gripes yesterday. A couple fourth and one calls that were ridiculous. An onside kick late in the game that, was ridiculous. Was kind of an indictment of how bad the defense was playing. And, Tomlin, Mike Mitchell, you know, Sports Illustrated a couple weeks ago saying, I guarantee we'll beat New England in the championship game. Oh, the Jacksonville players saw this. I don't know if it helped them or not. They might have still won the game anyway. But clearly they loved rubbing the Steelers' noses in it afterwards. And you know what? The Steelers deserved every second of it.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ron. Ron Cook, the great writer in Pittsburgh with us. I got to tell you, Yeah, there's no doubt that it affected them. There's no doubt that the Jaguars ate that up as their motivation and their source of their anger and venom and hatred. They wanted that team more than anybody. I don't even think they care anymore what happens this week. I know they'll say all they care about is going to the Super Bowl. I actually believe they just won their Super Bowl. The fact that they beat Pittsburgh was what they wanted because no one respected them when they beat their ass in October, least of all the abuse they took leading up to this game that they didn't even exist and had no chance. They must just have been laughing at them when it was over.
Yeah, but then, you know, you think they might learn. They were moaning about how everybody disrespected them. Then I see Jalen Ramsey, who's a terrific quarterback, comes out and said, "We're going to win the Super Bowl. I guarantee it." You know, well, you never hear Bill Belichick's guys say that in New England, do you? They don't do the talking. They just go out and kick you know what is what they do.
You're right. I mean, you are right. I heard that speech when they went home or wherever the hell it was. They were in a stadium or something. Is that what they did? They went home to the stadium?
I think it was at the airport, if I'm not mistaken.
Is that right? Like, so I got to tell you, though, I couldn't even believe. As you know, I had the whole thing going. I had the Steeler throne set up in the living room. I had like 12 jerseys hanging. I had kids dressed fully. My dog was barking. My wife was cooking. There was action. I had heavy action. So whenever the Steelers are playing and I'm not at the game, I was just so into it. And then to see them just absolutely stick it down their throat every time they had the ball. I mean, I was the language coming out of my mouth. I mean, I was scaring the dog, my children, the neighbors, the language. It was deplorable. I mean, they never stopped them once.
Scotty, I got to ask you here. I remember talking to you during hockey season. Now, I think you ranked the Penguins over your wife, kids, and dog. Right?
I do.
Steelers? Are the Steelers over your wife, kids, and dog?
Well, yeah. I mean, they know as a family unit, they understand that it goes Penguins, Steelers, them. I mean, it's really.
Okay, so they are behind both of the Steelers and the Penguins.
Like, I
wanted to get that right.
Yeah, my wife is hot, and I've known her the longest, and we've had a steamy, 17-year run, and we still have action, so there's a good situation there. But I've been in love, fully locked in and loaded on the Penguins for 52 years and Steelers. So, like, that's all, like, way above her pay grade. And my kids have been around for 13 and 10 years. They don't even matter.
I'm glad you have things in such perspective, Scotty. I really am.
I mean, honestly, you know it. And I got to tell you, like, I understand the losing. So, like, when they lost to Green Bay, when they lost to Dallas, and went back in the day when they would lose to the Raiders, I think it was a lot worse than it is now. As I get older, Ron, you and I keep getting older. It's the weirdest thing. We keep getting older, and I honestly will kid you not that it hurt really bad for about, I'd say, 3 hours, and then I was over it. I just don't care anymore. It's like, whatever,
well,
I've seen it.
You know what? The way we look at it here in Pittsburgh, Scotty, is the Pirates then took over, and they added to our
team. Oh, God.
But you know what? It's just been a wonderful 24-hour period here.
I mean, could you ever see anything worse, I said it tonight, than what this guy did to the Pirates? Like, I got no problem trading them. All right, I'm all right with that. Fair enough. It never worked with them. So you get rid of them. But for a ham sandwich and a couple of slices of salami and cheese, I mean, they got fleeced for both of them. Don't tell me. I don't even want to hear it. I heard number 4 prospect. To me, that means you suck. When you're number 4, you're not number 3. Number 3 sucks. Number 2 barely gets in my book. If you're the number 1, why is it that when the Yankees do deals, they get your number 1 prospect, and then the Pirates get the 4th? Who is number 4? That's the guy that didn't get invited to the party. Is that? That's who he is.
Well, this is all about salary dumps here. And, they know they're going to lose McCutcheon. They're not going to pay for him down the road. The same thing with Gerrit Cole. Even though Gerrit Cole had 2 years of financial control, it's really depressing to be a Pirates fan here, Scotty. We laugh, joke about the Steelers not winning every year, but they try. They're out there trying to win. But we're so blessed the Penguins are here. They've won 2 cups in a row. They may not win a 3rd one, but you know what? They're out there taking their best shot at it. It's hard to be a Pirates fan because the owner doesn't care. He makes big money. He makes a profit. He tries to feed the fans the line. We want to win. We're doing this to help the franchise down the road. It's all such bull. And you know, their attendance has dropped. Their attendance has dropped significantly the last 2 years. And I don't know how anyone can be a Pirates fan anymore. I really don't. I mean, I'm sure I'm complaining in this town because we got the Steelers and Penguins. Two out of three ain't bad, as they. I think they did a song about that.
Right, you're fantastic. What do they seriously? Because I grew up, you know, you and I have been around together a long time, and I've always read you. What do they think of you? What are the like when you start writing about teams that aren't performing and that do this, like fleecing their fans and feeding them all that BS? What do they think of you? How do they?
Well, they don't care. I mean, they laugh, cry, do whatever they have to do all the way to the bank. I mean, you know, Mark Cuban once told me this a long time ago, and we had an email exchange and talking about buying the Pirates,
right.
Whether he, you know, and he goes, you know what, if I made 25 or 30 million a year, and that was back then, you know, they can call me stupid, they can call me whatever they want if I make that every year. And I mean, so they don't care. I mean, obviously the fan base here, you know, hates Nutting, hates the ownership group here, hates the management. But they don't care. They're making a lot of money. You know, everyone says baseball stinks. The small market teams have no chance. They don't care because they're making a lot of money. That's all that matters to them.
Do you, will they, what is the deal with Bell and with Bryant? Bryant now all of a sudden has found God. He wants to stay in Pittsburgh. Meanwhile, the whole year, he's like, I hate this place. I'm out of here. They don't use me. I want out. Get me out of here. And then now he wants to stay. And then I want to know what the deal is with Bell. Are they going to tag him? And he's already livid.
Well, they're not going to let him go for nothing. And, I mean, I love that last week. He goes, I'll sit out. I might retire. Yeah, he's going to walk away from $14 million next year. He can do that in his rap career, right? I mean, come on. These guys are stupid. They think the Rooneys are, you know, the Steelers are going to blink when it comes to this. They've never once blinked in these negotiations. They're going to offer him what they think is a fair deal. He doesn't take it. They'll franchise him. He doesn't want that. They'll let him sit out all year. He's got no leverage here. As far as Martavis is concerned, he's under contract for another year. He's got to suck it up and play. The better he plays, then after next year, he can do what he wants. So, you know, the big news today, apparently Ben has told his teammates he wants to keep playing for a while. So let's have him around for a couple more years. He's about the only hope that they have, really, of winning the franchise. But until they help that defense out, man, it's going to be tough.
Thank God for him. He's such a badass. I love watching him play football. What a freak, those big fourth down passes. Ronnie, I love you. Great stuff tonight. Thanks for coming on the bench, as always. I'll catch up with you.
Hey, Scotty, it's always a joy. You call anytime.
I love that guy, Ron Cook in Pittsburgh with the Post-Gazette and the Fan. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to GEICO.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. It's championship weekend. Who's going to go to the big game? I've got AFC and NFC title game snags for you because PharrellOnTheBench.com has everything. I've hit 10 of my last 12 playoff bets for you. Every week is stacked with NBA, college hoops, and NHL. NBA tomorrow night, New Orleans and Boston. You heard Dave... or John DeShazer coming on talking about the Pelicans' big game in Boston tomorrow night. So college hoops tomorrow night, Clemson at North Carolina and Oklahoma at Kansas State. And in the NHL tomorrow night, Vegas and Nashville. How about New Jersey at the Islanders in Brooklyn? That sounds good. So PharrellOnTheBench.com gives you all the picks for all the games, boxing and MMA as well. We had a big night in the UFC last night for you. We got daily fantasy rosters too. PharrellOnTheBench.com has it all. Sign up today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.